Matt walked down the street in the sunlight and waved to Clarissa Ponder as she prepared to open the store for the day. He noticed Sam walking softly behind her. Matt was glad to see Sam talking to her. Matt thought his blood brother kind of moody recently, but couldn't figure out what to do about it. From what Matt saw of the woman, she seemed to have some kind of understanding that might help. Sam followed Clarissa into the store, and Matt continued his stroll down the town's main street. Matt had been marshal of Snake Creek a short time. So far, all remained quiet. He knew it wouldn't last. Matt and Sam took the fight to King Petty, humiliating him in front of the town not once, but several times. Petty would be almost crazy with anger, capable of anything. The question was, what would he do? Daryl Brown was at Lily's. He seemed to be hitting it off with the widow and her boy, and Matt was content to let him look after things on the farm. The new marshal's walk led him past the ruins of the Black Bull Saloon. He stopped to look at the remaining mess. Matt smiled at the surprise on Petty's face as he rushed out of the building just ahead of the cattle. Maybe it was a dirty trick to play on the town, but most of the people seemed to enjoy the show. He was wondering what the town council might want to put in the saloon's place when Sam joined him.
This place is in one hell of a shape, isn't it?
Looks like a herd of stampeded cattle ran through it.
Who would have allowed such a thing?
Don't know. Think I should try to find out and run them in?
Isn't that just like you? Give you a badge and you want to start throwing people in jail. Guess I should have warned them.
You're just jealous because they picked me instead of you. Guess I could deputize you.
And work for you? You think I'm crazy or something?
Do you really want me to answer that question?
Come to think of it, no.
Sam fell into place beside Matt as they walked down the street. In spite of the friendly banter, they both knew Petty would try something soon. They wanted to be ready for it. To Matt, Sam seemed a little more at ease. Any other person might not have noticed, but Matt knew his partner better than anybody.
You and Clarissa have a good talk?
Sam held up the small paper bag.
I got some coffee I needed.
Glad to hear it.
The two men walked a little farther until they came to an alley.
It's run by Petty's new place.
Sure. Life's been almost too boring for the past, 10 minutes or so.
The alley was deserted, and the small, faded building housing the dingy saloon at the end of the alley also seemed deserted.
How do you like that? Nobody's home.
Sam scanned the ground.
I don't like it. A lot of men were here, and they left fast, no more than an hour ago.
Sounds like somebody's hurt. You go around back, I'll go in the front. Let's check this out.
Sam didn't say a word, but disappeared around the corner of the building. Matt pulled his Colt and moved silently through the door. At first, he saw nothing. Bodine stepped inside and saw the figure leaning, trying to pull himself up to the bar, clutching at an almost empty whiskey bottle.
Halt! What are you doing?
Matt stepped closer as Sam came in through the back. Matt leaned down to talk with the former marshal and looked him over.
Petty sure did a number on you this time. Hell, you're nothing but black and blue.
Oh, he was gonna kill me. I don't know why he didn't pull the trigger. He had the gun to my head.
What's going on here? Where's Petty?
Holt looked over at Sam.
They're going after the boy. This time to string him up.
Is Petty that cruel and vicious?
Over my dead body!
Matt let Holt slump back to the floor and followed Sam. Daryl Brown, in spite of the danger, was enjoying the day. He lost Lily once before when she married Jack Brandom. After she was married, he tried to put her out of his mind. Now, because of the tragedy in her life, he had another chance to be with her. He would not have wanted Jack Brandom killed under any circumstances, but he was more than willing to help Lily with no thought of repayment. To him, being with Lily was payment enough. The task Sam assigned him now was to watch after Lily and Tommy, in case King Petty tried to pull anything. Daryl had done well, periodically checking the area around the house, making sure the home and outbuildings were secure. He wasn't sure what he would do if Petty showed up. He did know he would not back down. He would fight to the death for Lily and her son. Lily spread a cloth under the tree in the front yard. She brought some biscuits and fried meat out for a little picnic in the fine spring weather. Daryl was leaning against the tree with Tommy beside him. He smiled at the unexpectedly domestic scene that made even a hint of danger seem 1,000 miles away.
This is great. I've never seen anything like this. Does your mom do this often?
Not really. When my dad was alive, she never did this. He didn't like eating outside much. I like it. It's kind of fun.
Fun? Seems sometimes that I've eaten most of my meals outside.
Oh, you're lucky.
Lucky? Well, I don't know. Most of the meals were eaten on the run as I chased down or worked with cattle. It's paid off. We got a good herd going. We almost lost it, but thanks to Matt and Sam, we've got our animals back. Still, there's lots of work ahead of us. It's not an easy life being a cowboy.
Will you show me how to ride and rope? I'd like to work with you. Would you teach me?
Daryl felt an unexpected closeness to the boy.
We'll talk to your mom about it. First thing to do is make sure you guys remain safe. As long as King Petty's around, nobody is safe.
Tommy, would you help me?
Sure, Mom.
Tommy ran into the house. A moment later, he came out, followed by Lily, carrying a bowl. Daryl stepped up and took the bowl from her.
Here, let me help you with that.
The woman smiled and they sat on the ground.
I don't know how I could ever thank you. You've done so much for Tommy and me.
Well, I haven't done that much. Nothing any other man wouldn't have done. And to be honest, I'm a little concerned about Petty. It's been too quiet. He won't quit until he gets his way, or dies trying. We know how tough it'd be to kill him, even with Sam and Matt on our side.
We'll be fine. You'll see.
Daryl was very aware of the woman just a few feet from him, but his eyes were on the distant hills, trying to watch for any signs of danger. He poured some molasses on his plate and sopped a biscuit in it.
I've been wanting to ask you something. I know you've got a lot on your mind and so on, but...
Yes?
Tommy asked if he could ride with me, learn a little about cattle and ranching.
I don't see why not, as long as he gets his chores done around here.
Thanks, Mom!
It'd be good for him to learn different kinds of work.
And I imagine he'd like spending time with you.
Lily smiled.
And there's something else, too.
Yes?
Well, maybe after some time passes, and things get settled out, and this Petty thing is taken care of, could I maybe come by sometimes and see you?
I'd like that.
I mean, if you don't mind, you'd like that?
Give me a little time to work things out in my head, but sure, I'd enjoy that.
In the house. Get your gun ready. Do it now!
Lily and Tommy jumped up and headed for the door, but it was already too late. Sam was worried, and he felt guilty. He left Lily and Tommy on their homestead. Even with Daryl's help, the little group would have a hard time dealing with Petty. Sam had been certain he or Matt would be able to keep track of the gang in town. It was a miscalculation Sam hoped wouldn't be fatal. Sam led the way, though Matt kept pace. Neither had to check the trail to know where the Petty gang was heading. The only question, could the Blood Brothers get to Lily's in time to save the boy, his mother, and Daryl?
How much start do you think they have? Maybe 20 minutes more or less. No matter, it's too long.
We'll make it. Petty won't win this one.
I should have stayed with Lily. Daryl will have a tough time with that bunch.
Don't blame yourself. You know they're as safe as they can be.
I probably should have kept them close to us.
You know Lily wouldn't stand for that. You couldn't keep her prisoner.
I wish we could have kept her safer.
Sam's face grew grim, his eyes harder, as he lowered his head into the wind and spurred his horse to greater speed. The outlaws wore masks. They were on top of Daryl, Lily, and Tommy almost before they could react. Lily had Tommy by the hand. They were halfway to the door when the first riders galloped into the yard. One pair of strong hands reached out and swooped up Tommy and lifted him from the ground.
No!
Lily tried to hit the outlaw. Khan kept on riding, the boy's legs dangling behind him.
No!
Lily remembered the gun in her apron. She reached down and clutched at it, but was interrupted by another set of hands grabbing her and pulling her off the ground. She tried to turn, but could not. Instead, she found herself pushed roughly face down across the saddle in front of her. She didn't have to look to know that it was King Petty who had seized her. No mask could disguise his identity.
Stop this! Let me go! Animal! I'll kill you! I'll kill you!
She tried to wriggle free, to get a firm grasp on the gun, but Petty held her too tightly. She just could not get the weapon in her hand. Lily felt dirty just from his touch and wanted desperately to get away. From the angle she was facing, Lily could not see her son, and she was worried about him. She couldn't even see Daryl. Lily wanted to scream again, but her throat was dry, making it impossible to even wet her lips. Daryl saw the rider's approach, pulled his gun, and managed to squeeze off several shots. One of his bullets hit one of the outlaws, but he did not have the speed or accuracy of Sam, and the thug just kept coming. Daryl refused to step aside. He aimed more carefully, steadied his arm. This time, the bullet hit its target. The man tried to raise his gun for another shot, but his fingers no longer worked. The gun slipped from his hand, and the outlaw fell from the saddle. The horse kept coming at Daryl. He tried to step out of the way at the last instant, but was sideswiped by the animal. He was knocked to the ground. Daryl rolled over to his knees and started to stand when the other outlaws arrived. Two of them slid off their horses and picked Daryl up, pinning his arms behind him. Horrified, he watched as Khan held the boy and Petty forced Lily down on the saddle in front of him. The riders made several passes around the house and came back to report to Petty.
Nobody else here.
Everything's clear.
Petty nudged his horse forward, stopping in front of Daryl.
How nice. Looks like we interrupted a little dinner.
Seems like you and your trash are good at that.
Blood gushed from Daryl's nose.
Smartass. Just answer the questions. Where are the others? Bodine and two wolves.
They're around. Just wait a few minutes. You'll see him soon enough.
Petty threw the woman from the saddle and leaped to the ground. He punched Daryl repeatedly until he was barely conscious as the other men held him on the ground helpless.
Let him go.
The two men stepped back. Petty started to walk away, then unexpectedly pivoted, pulling his gun.
No! Not again!
Petty ignored her. The bullet struck Daryl, spinning him around to the ground. Lily finally pulled the gun from her apron pocket, but Petty was ahead of her. He grabbed her arm with one hand and took the gun with his other hand.
Sorry, widow. Guns aren't for women to play with. I have something else for you.
She looked around, trying to get herself oriented. Daryl was motionless on the ground. Where was her son?
Why don't you just leave us alone? Haven't you done enough to us?
Not enough to suit me, or unsuit me, if you will.
He pulled down his mask, putting his face close to hers.
I've been through hell because of you, widow. I aim to enjoy you.
What about the boy?
Let's take care of him first. Give the widow a show. Then I'll get down to the real business at hand. Bring the brat over here, by the tree.
The big man holding Tommy rode his horse slowly toward the center of the yard, then threw the boy to the ground. Tommy stood, staring at Petty and Khan.
Hand me the rope.
Khan reached into his saddlebags and pulled out a rope already tied in a hangman's noose.
I already took the liberty of preparing it. I hope you don't mind, King.
Good man. You did a good job.
Petty walked around the boy and the tree, kicking what was left of the picnic out of the way.
This is a good, sturdy tree. It should do the job.
He tossed the rope around an overhanging limb, adjusting it so that the noose dangled freely.
Bring the boy here.
Rough hands pushed Tommy toward Petty. He half stumbled, but managed to keep his balance. Petty yanked the boy toward him. Lily lunged forward, but two of the others jerked her so strongly that her head snapped back. They leered at her as she struggled.
Leave the boy alone! I'll give you anything you want!
You will anyway.
He placed the noose around the boy's neck, pulled it snug, and tied the other end around the saddle horn of his horse.
Y'all deserve this. It'll be a pleasure to watch you die.
God damn you! God damn you to hell, you fucking son of a bitch, you shit-eating animal! God damn you, King Petty! I'll bite off your cock, you fucking son of a bitch!
Petty ignored her and put his hand on the horse, ready to slap its rump and send the boy to his death. Matt Bodine and Sam Two Wolves often raced time in their adventures together. The stakes in some of those contests were their very lives. This race was different. The lives of a young boy, his mother, and their friend were at stake because of Matt and Sam's overconfidence. The two blood brothers rode faster than ever before. The countryside was a blur as they made a direct line to the Brandom homestead.
Almost there! How are we doing?
We're catching up to them! Those tracks were made just minutes ago.
Matt was a good tracker, but even he gave credit to Sam. Nobody else he knew could tell so much from just a few tracks, especially while on the back of a racing horse. With Sam, it was almost as much instinct as training.
Yeah!
Matt kicked the horse into greater speed, and for a second pulled slightly ahead of Sam. Through the trees, the two blood brothers could see the outlaws near the house.
I'm gonna circle around the back way!
Sam acknowledged the comment by pushing his horse even faster. Matt had no plan. In a situation like this, there was no way to plan. A person could only jump in and think on his feet, making things happen as best he could. Sam crossed the hill where Jack was buried. The first thing he noticed was the gang of outlaws gathered together in Lily's front yard. The second thing he noticed was the rope hanging over the tree limb with a noose on the other end around Tommy's neck. He was almost too far away. Suddenly, Matt's horse burst around the barn, though Matt was no longer on its back. It was an unusual distraction, but it did the job. The horse sprinted into the group, sending the thugs scattering. The confusion lasted only for a few seconds, but it was enough for Sam to gain additional precious feet. Sam pulled his Colt and fired. It was an almost impossible shot, even for Sam, though he came close. The slug whistled past Petty's ear. He was startled and pulled his own gun. Sam continued to race toward him. Realizing his mistake, Petty changed the revolver to his other hand and raised his arm. His hand came down solidly on the horse's rump. The horse jumped, tightening the hanging rope. Matt ran and leaped from the hayloft, landing next to the horse. He grabbed at the halter and tried to hold it back with sheer strength. The horse, scared amidst all the noise and confusion, started to buck. Matt held on tightly, hoping to create some slack in the rope. Sam was now so close, Petty could see the dark eyes blazing through him. Sam holstered his gun, then reached for the large knife he always carried. Petty figured Sam would try to cut him as he passed. Petty shifted position and crouched. The bullet whistled through empty air as Sam leaped from the horse's back, sailing over Petty. Sam grabbed hold of the tree limb with one hand and slashed at the rope with the other. The razor-sharp blade almost instantly severed the rope. Tommy, who was on his tiptoes, fell to the ground. A dozen men swarmed over the two blood brothers. Matt was paying most of his attention to the 1,000 pounds of horse flesh, trying to bite, kick, and buck him off. He could not make out clearly who his attackers were, but didn't hesitate an instant. He raised his boots and allowed the horse to put the force behind the kicks. One of the men backed away with a broken jaw. A second man lay moaning on the ground after he was kicked in the groin. A third man narrowly escaped as a hoof grazed his head. The remaining outlaws gave Matt and the thrashing horse a wide berth when Matt suddenly let go of the animal. He rolled along the ground, coming up with a Colt in his hand. His gun blazed, doubling over one of the thugs and sending the others running for cover. King Petty didn't like what he was seeing. For the first time in his life, his wishes were being successfully opposed. It was as if Matt and Sam materialized out of thin air to thwart his plans. He watched as his men were taken out. They were all tough men, thugs who in some cases were almost as violent as him. Yet, they were being taken out by the two blood brothers as if they were nothing. After Sam cut down the boy, he looked straight at Petty. The outlaw had never seen such rage and anger as now in Sam's face. The eyes seemed to burn through him. Petty turned and saw Khan taking the woman from the other two men. Behind him, more of his men were running towards Sam.
Let me have her.
He grabbed Lily and pulled her roughly from Khan's grasp.
Sure, King. Whatever you want.
I'm getting out of here. Maybe those two bastards cheated me out of everything else, but they're not taking the woman away from me.
Are you crazy? She just slowed you down.
Get out of my way.
Petty grabbed a horse, threw the woman onto the saddle, and jumped up behind her. Khan felt the hot lead flying around him. He decided retreat, in this case, would be the wisest action. He found the nearest horse and took off just seconds behind Petty. Petty wasn't sure where he could go. He knew there was no safe place he could go. The breed would find him and try to kill him for what he tried to do. Even if he could find a way to escape two wolves, now that Bodine was a sworn-in lawman, he could bring in the law from all over the country to search for him. For all Petty knew, he may have even violated federal laws. No matter. He was King Petty. He owned the area around Snake Creek for years. He would find a way to get what he wanted, when he wanted. Now, he wanted the woman, and he would have her. He headed for Snake Creek, thinking he might lose any pursuers in its shallow water. Sam could see the action clearly from where he was holding on to the tree limb, but didn't wait around for anybody to start using him for target practice. He spotted Khan with Lily and saw King racing toward them. With a knife in his free hand, Sam could not get his gun clear of its holster and fire soon enough. He swung toward the small group, landing lightly on his feet, right in front of four outlaws running toward him. The outlaws had guns in hand, but hesitated for an instant before shooting. It was an instant too long. Sam's knife flashed, and the unlucky outlaw closest to him fell to the ground with a slash in him from his neck to his shoulder. As his blood started to stain the ground, Sam thrust the blade in the opposite direction, opening a wound in the guts of a second outlaw. The other two outlaws finally regained their senses and started shooting. Terrified of the figure before them, they fired wildly, emptying their guns without hitting anything but dirt. Sam kept coming at them, and with two quick swipes they were history, faces down to the ground, guns motionless in their lifeless hands. Sam was barely breathing hard, looking to take on anybody else foolish enough to stand in his way. Except suddenly, no other outlaws were left alive and standing. Matt stood, his gun still in hand. Though his back was to Sam, he knew exactly where his partner stood and what he was doing. He worked his way slowly backward toward Sam. Sam also backed toward Matt, so they would meet in the middle of the yard, under the tree. They were ready for an attack from any direction.
Are you all right, boy?
Tommy rubbed his neck and tried to smile.
I'm still alive. What about Daryl? They shot him.
Sam helped Tommy lean against the tree and looked at the bodies scattered around the yard. Daryl Brown was not among them.
They may have shot him, but I reckon they didn't kill him. Unless a body can get up and walk away. I don't see him here now.
Two others aren't here. The mighty king is gone, along with Lily and his crony Khan. I was trying to get a beat on them, but it wasn't possible holding on to that bronc.
I saw them, but from where I was hanging, I couldn't get a shot either.
We saved the boy. That was the most important thing at the time.
He looked around.
Damn, I didn't see which way they went.
They heard a running horse coming around the barn. Matt and Sam both turned instantly, guns at the ready, but dropped them to their sides when they saw it was a friend, not an enemy. Lester Brown galloped into view.
I've been trying to stay close. I know Daryl can take care of himself, but I didn't want to take chances. I heard the shooting and... Damn! You boys work fast. I'm glad y'all ain't enemies of mine.
Sam's eyes scanned the ground.
I've got the trail. I'm going after Petty. He's mine.
Only if you get to him first.
You can count on it.
Matt quickly found his horse and mounted.
Lester, stay here and look after the boy. We'll be back, Tommy, and we'll have your mom. You can count on it.
Lester put his hand on the boy's shoulder as the two blood brothers disappeared from sight. Daryl hurt, and he hurt bad. He wasn't sure where he took the slug, though most of the pain seemed to come from his leg. He gritted his teeth and tried to fight off the waves of nausea and blackness threatening to engulf him. He felt sick inside. He failed Lily and the boy. He let King Petty surprise them and defeat them. Daryl, however, was still alive and planned to do something. He lay on the ground in pain, hearing the gunshots and the fight. With great effort, he finally pushed himself up from the ground. His head cleared enough to see Matt and Sam destroying Petty's men. Then he saw Lily. He was suddenly awake and clearly saw the action as Petty yanked the woman from Khan's grip, threw her onto a horse, and mounted behind her. No one saw him amidst the chaos going on around him. One of Petty's men rode by, his eyes on Sam and his knife. Daryl pulled the rider from his horse and grabbed the reins and saddle. The horse, already anxious from all the commotion, tried to run. Daryl held on and pulled himself onto the saddle, finally finding the stirrups. He followed Petty and the woman. Petty moved fast, but Daryl had been riding this land since he was a kid. Even with the pain stabbing at him, Daryl knew every hill, gully, and creek. He managed to gain ground on the outlaw. Petty seemed to be headed for Snake Creek, the town's namesake. Daryl couldn't figure out why Petty was going in that direction, unless he had some vague idea of losing his tracks in the water. It seemed like a stupid idea to Daryl, but then, Petty was always more concerned with killing and raping than learning the land. Had he learned, Petty would know if the spring sun warmed the land enough, it would be bad news for the outlaw. This did not concern Daryl. What did worry him was Lily and what Petty would do with her. Daryl glanced down at his leg and saw his blood soaking his pants. He wasn't sure how badly he was shot, but he knew he couldn't keep going much longer, losing blood. He took a gamble. He knew a shortcut to the creek. He decided to take it, hoping to catch Petty there. Daryl turned the horse and urged it forward with his good leg. A wave of blackness tried to engulf him, but he managed to stay in the saddle. In minutes, he pushed through the thick underbrush and saw the waters of Snake Creek. It looked cool and inviting. At certain times of the year, it was a good place to fish, as Matt and Sam found. At other times, it was a good place to avoid. Sometimes even natives didn't know when those times would be. Petty suddenly came into view, not bothering to slow his horse as it waded into the creek. Behind him was Sam, his gun drawn and ready to shoot. Khan was not particularly loyal to any man. He joined up with King Petty because he knew a good thing when he saw it. In many ways, he and Petty were cut from the same cloth. As long as it suited his needs, he followed Petty's wishes. Now that Petty lost, and lost big, Khan decided it was time to move on. It was a pattern that always worked for him. He pushed his horse hard for several miles, then slowed down, feeling he was out of danger. He stopped, dismounted, and took inventory of his situation. He had some money and a few supplies in his saddlebags, since he was always prepared to make a quick move if necessary. He had a good horse and his guns. It was a clean getaway.
What are you so happy about? Didn't think you'd really get away, did you?
The outlaw turned with hands in the air. Matt was standing, legs spread apart, his gun still in its holster.
So, Matthew Bodine, why are you following me? King Petty's the man you should be after.
Sam will take care of him. If there's anything left to Petty, I can arrest him later. I'm going to bring you in for the principal of the thing. I know you've been involved with Petty's operations. I'd be willing to bet I could prove you had a hand with that attempted murder of the boy. I've got enough to hang you.
Matthew Bodine, city marshal. Hell, you ain't nothing. You got no jurisdiction outside the town. You can't touch me.
Maybe. Maybe not. I'll be the one to worry about that. Doesn't make any difference to me. You're under arrest for the attempted murder of Tommy Brandom. Are you going to come along without any problem? Or are you going to make me take you in with force?
Pretty sure of yourself, are you, Bodine? You don't even have a gun in your hand. What makes you think you could outdraw me?
I know it. You do, too. Just unbuckle your gun belt and drop it.
You're as crazy as Petty, except maybe in a different way. Why risk your life to take me in?
Maybe you said it. Maybe I am crazy. Doesn't make any difference. Stop stalling.
Khan reached for his buckle, but at the last instant went for the gun. His eyes suddenly went empty as his hand instinctively clutched at his face, blood spurting through his fingers, coating his arm and running down his shirt front. Sam was surprised to find Daryl close to catching Petty. Sam could see Daryl's bloody clothes and knew he was hurt. He gained new respect for the other man. Daryl had more courage than Sam realized. Petty's horse splashed into the creek. Sam didn't shoot, afraid of hitting Lily by mistake. Daryl chased Petty into the creek and with his last strength, reached out and grabbed Petty by the arm. The outlaw turned in disbelief and tried to push Daryl away. At the same time, Lily punched out and twisted in the saddle, forcing Petty off balance. He started to fall. Sam now was able to catch up. He jumped off the horse on top of Petty, forcing him into the water. Sam struck with a vicious right to Petty's midsection, followed by a left to the head. The outlaw, with a crazy look in his eyes, started to lash out wildly with blows to Sam's face and stomach. Sam blocked most of them, but a few managed to get through. Sam ducked underneath a particularly reckless blow and threw Petty into the water near a pile of brush. Just a few feet away, Daryl was trying to help Lily toward dry land.
Snakes!
Oh, God!
The churning water disturbed a nest of snakes in the brush. They were swimming wildly toward Daryl and Lily. Daryl, though still in pain, pushed Lily toward the shore and started to grab at the snakes. He threw the one in his hand as far downstream as he could, but there were too many of them. Several bit him. Lily pulled them off Daryl as they both moved toward the shore. Sam took a step toward the couple, but stopped when he heard Petty's laugh.
Got you now, two wolves. You're a dead man.
Sam, though knee-deep in water, turned with amazing speed and saw the gun in Petty's hand. The outlaw cocked and started to pull the trigger. Sam's draw was faster than it had ever been. Petty shot, but the bullet went wild. Sam fired again, this time hitting the outlaw squarely in the chest, knocking him back into the brush. Another set of snakes suddenly appeared and swarmed over Petty. The Blood Brother rushed over to where Lily and Daryl were almost to the creek bank. Sam helped pull the couple from the water. Several snakes were still trailing behind them. Sam killed them with well-placed shots. The water was again still, except for the floating bodies of the dead snakes and King Petty.
Didn't leave much for me to do.
I got to him first.
Lily knelt over Daryl.
Will he be all right? He risked his life to save me. Will he live?
Sam looked over, saw several red welts where the snakes had bitten. He took his knife and cut back the pants to take a better look at the bullet wound.
He's not in good shape. But Daryl Brown is a strong man. I have a friend in town who knows some old remedies that might help him. I'd lay odds Daryl will pull through as strong as ever.
Could you get your friend to help him? Please?
I'm already going.
Tell Clarissa we'll be at Lily's place. She'll need to bring some of her special tea and dressings.
Lily was smoothing the covers around Daryl with a concerned look on her face. Sam and Matt, sitting in the adjoining room, looked through the door.
How is he?
The worst is over. The best is yet to come.
Please save him, Clarissa. Don't let him die.
Clarissa put the palm of her hand against Daryl's forehead.
The fever's going down. The poultices are working. The danger is past. He'll live. What he needs now is tender, loving care. You will look after him for a while.
Thank you, Clarissa. Thank you.
Clarissa looked thoughtfully at the man stretched out in the bed.
It's not really my doing. Daryl has a strong will to live. He has a strong reason to live. And I think you know what it is.
I do know. But it's been so soon since...
The hurt will heal in time. Just let it heal. And accept the gift of love when it's offered.
Clarissa and Henry Ponder were behind the counter, restocking cans on shelves. Clarissa turned when Sam entered, smiled, and stepped down to greet him with a hug. Henry waved.
Hi, Sam.
Henry, Clarissa. I came to tell you both goodbye.
Hey, you done what you came for.
Henry held out his hand.
We were hoping you'd stop by before leaving.
Well, that's not entirely true. Never did get that fishing out of my system.
Too many snakes?
Too many snakes, of all kinds. We got rid of some of those critters, with you and Clarissa's help. It took a lot of courage to do what you did.
Well, we should have acted against Petty a long time ago, but we were all scared. Until you and Matt came along and stood up against him. Matt gave us a little scare when we thought he was going to turn the offer down to Service Marshal, but it worked out.
Matt's a little hard-headed sometimes, especially when his fishing is interrupted. But you can count on him, always.
You two are very close.
Closer than brothers.
I gotta run. A town council meeting scheduled to fill the marshal's job. Wish you and Matt would stay.
Can't do it.
I understand.
Henry shook Sam's hand again.
You come up this way again, you're always welcome here. Maybe next time you'll even get that fishing done.
Henry took off his apron and left through the rear door, leaving Clarissa and Sam in the room. The room was quiet, but not uncomfortable.
You've been thinking about our talk?
Not much time to think, not with all that's been going on.
Sam, that's an excuse, not a reason.
You're a lot like my mother. You've seen through me. Have you wondered why I don't live my life as a Cheyenne? It's because I made a promise to my father to turn my back on my life as an Indian. Of course, I sometimes have doubts, but I couldn't go back now.
That's not what I said. I said to keep your heritage in your heart, recognize it, and live it. My grandmother was Cherokee, though nobody knows that but Henry and you. That's not important. What is important is that I know. I try to live the old ways in my heart. You should realize, if you don't already, you are living as a Cheyenne, in your heart. You have the soul of a warrior. I know you still follow many of the Cheyenne ways. Most important, you are true to what you believe is right. That is the most important thing.
Thanks, Clarissa.
One more question.
Anything.
You and Sam are blood brothers, aren't you?
Yes.
That explains a lot. Others, like Henry, accept us, but could not truly hope to understand.
She hugged Sam.
Take care. You and Matt will always have a place here.
Daryl Brown was stretched out on one of the easy chairs in Lily's front room, his legs bandaged and his face puffy from the bullet wound and the snake bites. He was tough, though. He survived the nights and days following the bites, first with Clarissa's help, then with Lily's. He would live. Lily stood near him, a concerned look on her face, as she plumped his pillow and tried to make him comfortable. Matt was on the front porch, enjoying the spring weather and watching Sam ride in from town. Sam's horse came to a sliding stop. He tied it to the porch rail and came up the stairs in one jump. He glanced through the open door, saw Lily and Daryl talking to each other. Matt looked at Sam and grinned.
Looks like Lily will come out of this all right.
Her husband's death is still too recent. The loss is too fresh. There is an attraction between those two.
Daryl came near killing himself when he pulled Lily from the river. That's a bit more than just an attraction.
It does make him seem like a hero to her. That Tommy likes him and that the feeling is mutual doesn't hurt either.
Lily's an attractive woman. Aren't you a little jealous that you, Mr. Sam Two Wolves, the ladies' man, lost out this time to Daryl?
Sam hit Matt with his hat.
You clodhopper.
Matt turned from the scene, walked to the edge of the porch, and looked across the fields.
Sometimes I wish I had this wanderlust played out, that I could just find a woman and stay in one place for more than a few weeks at a time. Go home and stay home.
I know what you mean. Lily and Daryl will have a good life here. The land is rich, there's plenty of water. It'll be a good place to raise kids. I can say the same about our ranches up north, but I'm wondering if that's what I really want. Is that really me? Is that really the life for me?
You're thinking about your promise to your father to turn your back on your Indian heritage.
Yeah, that's it. I did more than promise. I made a sacred oath, and I will abide by that oath. But something just doesn't seem right. Sometimes I feel I'm missing something, and I don't know what. I'm not entirely comfortable with the new ways, but I couldn't go back to the old ways, even if I wanted to.
You'll figure it out in time. Maybe as hard as we fight it, life is just about change. What seem to be new ways then become old ways. In the end, we all have to find our own ways.
Maybe. It's something to think about.
Lester Brown came around the corner of the house with Tommy as the boy led a cow pony. Tommy saw Matt and Sam and waved.
Mr. Brown is telling me about being a cowboy.
Tommy?
Sorry, Lester was telling me about cows and showing me a little about riding.
Daryl and Lily heard the talk outside. Daryl hobbled to the door, leaning a little on Lily.
Just telling the boys about your son. He's a natural. If you don't mind, I'd like to have your boy help me and Daryl out some. We'll help you in your place.
That'd be wonderful.
Then it's a done deal.
Brown's bushy eyebrows cast shadows under his eyes as he turned to Matt and Sam.
Looks like you boys are headed out.
Time to move on.
Wish you all could stay a while.
We'll make it back this way, I suspect.
Where to in the meantime?
Haven't decided yet. We may continue north, up to our home places, or we may head to the southwest and see the desert country. Or we might wind up someplace totally different.
The two blood brothers stepped into their saddles, waved one final goodbye, and then headed down the road. Soon, Lily's house was out of sight.
Been meaning to talk with you for a while.
So talk.
I'm trying to figure out how one fella can get himself in so much trouble. Send you to town for some groceries, and next thing you know, we're facing a killer. Think maybe next time I'll go in myself for supplies.
That's so. Whose idea was it that we go after some cattle rustlers, just as a matter of principle?
Well, a man's got to live according to his own principles,
wouldn't you say, brother?
You understand it well, brother.
Matt and Sam rode in silence for a while, enjoying the spring day. The two did not have to exchange words to communicate with each other. They knew they shared a bond impossible for most men to comprehend.
So what is next? Want to head home for a while?
What's your thinking?
Well, I do have an idea.
Not like you to be shy.
I'd kind of like to head farther west.
Any particular reason?
I've heard some of those mountain streams have pretty good fishing. Yeah!
Blood Brothers hurry toward their next adventures in the untamed West.
Blood Bond Death in Snake Creek is a Graphic Audio production. Copyright 1991, William W. Johnstone. Published by arrangement with Kensington Publishing Corporation, all rights reserved. Production copyright 2007, The Cutting Corporation, all rights reserved. Performed by Thomas Penny, Dylan Lynch, James Lewis, Elizabeth Demery, Eric Messner, Michael John Casey, Terrence Aselford, Karen Carbone, Andy Clements, Christopher Graybill, Nanette Savard, Ken Jackson, Richard Rowan, David Coyne, and Mort Shelby. Directed by Ken Jackson. Book adapted for graphic audio by Tim Lynch. Dialogue editing by Greg Reinfeld and Brian Rogers. Graphic audio sound design by Brian Patton, Greg Reinfeld, and Brian Rogers. Additional original music by Brian Patton, Greg Reinfeld, and Johann Detweiler. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. If you enjoyed Blood Bond, be sure to look for the First Mountain Man series. Available at road stops everywhere at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net, where you'll find samples of all our Action Pump titles, as well as free downloadable extras, forums, and podcasts. Read the Pinnacle Edition. Visit www.kensingtonbooks.com. Keep listening for previews of other graphic audio thrillers.
Black Adam.
Help me change the world for the better.
The Question.
I'm hiring you.
You wanted me to watch this place. I figured you knew what was going on.
Booster Gold.
World War III. I broke time?
All have been thrown into world-changing events that will bring their fates together and tear their lives apart.
Gotham burns tonight. A pit of fire will roar at your city's heart.
With every murder, I have grown stronger.
Santa is suffering because of you!
Don't wake me! Hold on, Charlie! Hold on, please!
52, Part 2. The story of the year will give rise to something bigger.
Available now from Graphic Audio.
Captain Harris Serrano, scion of a long and illustrious line of officers, has been forced to resign in disgrace from Spacefleet. Her new assignment, civilian captain of the luxury yacht, Sweet Delight.
Tell us about your new captain. Why you choose such a Spacefleet officer?
I thought an officer from the regular space service would know how to maintain discipline and follow my orders.
Captain, I'd like to speak to you.
Don't you ever come on my bridge again, mister.
But I want to apologize.
You can apologize to my crew for nearly getting us all killed. And then you can go away and not come back.
Captain!
What is it?
Computer says dangerous chemical. Sulfur something. Someone was there but isn't moving.
Get those backups down here. Make sure they have their helmets locked on. I'm going in.
Damn military arrogance. She hit me! The owner's family! Just you wait. I'll get even with her. Bandon Field. Permission to land and refuel. Number 002413. We're low on fuel, Bandon Field.
Permission denied.
Look out!
Captain Serrano, how nice to have you aboard.
Don't miss the launch of Graphic Audio's gripping new space adventure, The Serrano Legacy, Book 1, Part 1, Hunting Party.
Available now from Graphic Audio.
If you can't find that hot Graphic Audio title you're looking for, just head to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can order it in CD or MP3 disc format. Or, the fastest and cheapest way, download that puppy and play it on any of the many devices that'll play Windows Media. And if you're on the road or just a total computer feeb, snatch up the phone and call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220. Or www.graphicaudio.net.